Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 128 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk some boys and girls basketball later on tonight with my other three guests. But right now, I want to talk some volleyball with my first guest. She was a senior middle hitter on this year's Ankeny volleyball team that won the Class 5A state title. And she was a first-team All-State selection. She recently announced her verbal commitment to Bradley University. She is McKenna Scheib. McKenna, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing? Hey, good. Well, hey, congratulations on your commitment. I know you told me that the end of your high school career was approaching and it was time to move on and make a decision. Is it a relief, though, to get the decision out of the way?
Yeah, it was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. Since a lot of my teammates had already committed, I was one of the last ones, but I'm glad that I waited because I was able to make, you know, the best decision I could.
Well, you told me that you were considering a few other schools, but those were just for academics. Is that right?
Yeah. Good, and I kind of had this like thought in my head already that Bradley was going to be like one of the top ones throughout the process. It was just whether or not I got an offer from there, which I did, so that was kind of the seal on the deal for me.
Sure. What were the other schools that you were looking at?
There was Radford University in Virginia, and then there was also, I was looking at a school called University of Mary in I think South Dakota, and McKendree, which was also in Illinois, I believe. So
okay.
Those were kind of my main at the end.
Well, you talked about the academics at Bradley. So what are you planning to study there?
I'm really interested in psychology, forensic psychology, and like business psychology and stuff like that. So that's what I'm planning on.
Oh, okay. Well, you told me from the first time that you talked to the coaches that you had the best feeling about where that program is going. And I see that the Braves are currently having an 8-4 record. And of course, they're playing right now because the fall season was postponed due to COVID. They got off to a 1-3 start, but the team has won 7 of its last 8 matches. So they're having a pretty good season, aren't they?
Yeah, it's been super fun to watch them.
Well, I see that two of their losses came at Drake on February 7th and 8th. Did you get a chance to attend those matches, or maybe they didn't allow any fans there?
I did. I did get to go to the second Drake match, and it was a good fight, but Drake's also a really good team. I know a couple of the girls who played for them, so it was fun to watch.
Well, I looked at the Bradley roster, and it looks like they have one current Iowan that plays for them, and that is a junior, Kat Poré. I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation or not, but she's a former Council Bluffs Lewis Central player. So did you know any of the players there before they started recruiting you?
No, I didn't know any of the players or anything. I have gotten a little bit closer to some of the girls, the other girls in my class, so I'm excited to meet them in person and, you know, get to finally talk to them and be with them.
Well, I know you told me that the coaches and the players were very welcoming on your visit, and that they have some other good girls coming in the class of 2021. So do they have a big recruiting class coming in?
No, there's about three of us right now, and then one girl transferring from a JUCO, so it's not too big. I think it's kind of affected by COVID and the extra year of eligibility, but it's a pretty decent size, I think.
Well, yeah, it looks like they have a young team, so maybe they don't have a lot of openings. I don't think I saw a senior on their roster. And of course,
they're pretty young.
Well, right. And of course, all the players, can get this year of eligibility back, because of COVID. So do you think you'll have a chance to compete for, playing time right away?
I really hope so. It just kind of depends on when I get there and I get to practicing, see what my talent is compared to them, but either way, I'm super excited to be a part of the team.
Well, I know the Braves won 24 matches in 2018, so this is a program that's obviously had some success in recent years. Was that another factor that drew you to them?
Yeah, I think I've seen them play UNI once before while going to UNI game with my teammates for my club team. And I knew that they were a good school from the start. They were talking to one of my teammates for a little bit earlier in our high school career, but I knew that they were good, and I knew that they were in the top half of the MVC usually, so that was a really reassuring factor.
All right. Well, I know your dad told me back when you were in the early stages of the recruiting process that you really wanted to play Division I volleyball, and that if that didn't work out, you know, you maybe didn't want to play at a lower level. So is that pretty much the mindset that you had all along?
Yeah. Sorry, it's hailing in the car.
That's okay.
But towards the end of my high school volleyball career, I kind of made, you know, the decision that D1 or D2 would be the best option. And Bradley's, sorry, it's raining really hard.
Oh, that's okay.
Bradley's education was just one of the big things that set me over. And I was mainly looking for education first and then volleyball.
Well, so if you hadn't gotten an offer from Bradley, I mean, do you think you would have been okay with giving up volleyball?
Maybe. It was kind of, in the beginning, I wasn't sure, but as it progressed, I realized that I really did want to play college.
All right. Well, your parents, of course, were both basketball players at Northern Iowa back in the day, and I thought maybe you and I might be interested in you just because of the ties with your parents. Did they show any interest in you at all?
No, I think they had their class good from the beginning. I don't think they had an opening for a middle blocker, so I kind of, you know, said that was over from the start.
All right. I might have asked you this before, and I apologize if I did, but I assume your parents introduced you to basketball when you were younger. You know, did you just enjoy volleyball more, and how old were you when you started focusing just on volleyball?
I started playing basketball since the start because my dad was a coach and everything, but I started playing volleyball in fourth or fifth grade, and ever since then, I just realized that that's the thing that I'm best at, and I was just decided to go that route.
All right. Well, I know you told me that the campus at Bradley is really pretty. So what were your overall impressions of the city of Peoria?
Right around the campus was really nice. We went to this one cafe, and it was really good, and that kind of got me excited. So then once I got in the campus, I was like, okay, I like this place a lot. So.
Well, yeah, I thought maybe Peoria was about the size of Des Moines because I've driven through there a number of times, and that was just kind of a guess on my part. But I looked it up, and Peoria has a population of 113,000, which is more along the lines of a Cedar Rapids. But I guess the important thing is that it's only 4 hours, you know, away, so your parents will be able to see you play a lot. You know, were they pretty excited about your decision?
Yeah, they were super excited, and they didn't really care where I went as long as I was happy. And I know my dad was. I went on the visit with my dad and my stepmom, and they both play basketball for UNI, as you know, and they were just kind of laughing at how their daughter is now playing for their old rival, so that was kind of funny.
Right. Well, of course, they'll be able to see you play, you know, when the Braves come here to play both Drake and UNI, because all three teams are in the Missouri Valley Conference. So have you gotten your folks, you know, some Bradley gear yet?
My dad got some on the visit, but my mom's still ordering hers. And my grandparents. I think my grandparents have gotten a few sweatshirts.
All right. Well, do you know yet if you'll head off to school, you know, this summer to start preparing for the fall season? Because I assume they probably want you to get there a little early, don't they?
Yeah, I think that we help with the tournaments and the camps and stuff in June, and then we start training at the end of July, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, McKenna, I really appreciate your time tonight. Enjoyed the conversation. So, you know, good luck at Bradley.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is an assistant coach for the Ankeny boys basketball team. He helped guide the Hawks to a 10-10 record this season. He is Nate Tobey. Nate, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Hey, you bet. Well, yeah, I wanted to break down today's action at the boys' state tournament with you, but before we do that, let's briefly talk about your team. You guys ended the season with a loss to Waukee in a sub-state final last Tuesday. You know, but all in all, you had to be pretty happy with what this team accomplished this year, considering how young you guys were.
Yeah, we had a lot of youth, and then not being able to have really an off season to evaluate or get the guys in the gym together very often. You know, made us have to figure out a lot of things on the fly, but I feel like our guys did a great job with that and ended up playing really well down the stretch and got some big wins and, you know, put themselves in a position to go to the state tournament, and that's you know, always right where we want to be.
Well, of course, you guys beat Waukee in the championship game last year. And while your team was hit hard by graduation, the Warriors returned the bulk of their roster, and they've been the favorites pretty much, you know, all year to win state. You guys lost to them twice during the regular season and then again in the sub-state final. But each game was closer than the last one. Do you think that showed that the progress, you know, that your team made this year?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like even losing by 20 points in the sub-state game, the game was closer than that for most of it. And, you know, we really just got off to a bad start in that game and crawled back into it. And I think that showed our guys' toughness and willingness to compete and not back down. We definitely could have folded down 20-2 to start the game, but you know, our guys responded really well and showed how much work they had put in up to that point. And it was fun to watch there for stretches of that second quarter and third quarter in this sub-state game.
Well, your team will have to replace four seniors, but only two of them, Benter Nayal and Matt Stickrat, really played significant minutes. You know, you have to feel really good about the amount of returning talent that you'll have next year.
Yeah, it'll be fun, and hopefully we can have more of an off season like we normally would, and be able to train the guys and have them be around each other more. And we'll definitely miss those seniors. They brought a lot of great personalities, a lot of stability to the program. They were guys who had been around a lot and really helped us weather a lot of the ups and downs that this season brought for us. But yeah, looking forward to next year and being able to hit the ground running and having a lot of returning guys will be really nice.
Well, the Class 4A quarterfinals were held today, and I don't know if you had a chance to watch or follow any of the games. Did any of the outcomes surprise you?
Not really. The only surprise to me was that we didn't have any closer games than what ended up happening. You know, most of the games were well in hand by the fourth quarter, and I thought we'd have a couple closer ones to pay attention to, but nothing was too close down the stretch.
Well, I know your brother Josh is the AD at Johnston, and the Dragons had an impressive win over Dowling in the first quarterfinal game. So were you rooting for them to win today?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of those Johnston guys. That was actually like Reed Grant and Max Rocky. I worked with them as their school counselor at Johnston Middle School, and they're just awesome kids, and I got to know their family. It was cool to see them get a win today, and they're a fun team to watch, and I think they match up really well against Cedar Falls, and I'm guessing that'll be a really close game between two just outstanding teams.
Well, yeah, we get a couple of really good semifinal matchups now. Like you said, Johnston will play top-seeded Cedar Falls in the semifinals on Thursday night. Now, Cedar Falls hasn't lost since you guys beat them in last year's semifinals because they rebounded to beat Anki Centennial in the third-place game, and they're now 20-0 this season. You know, how do you see that matchup? Do you think Johnston can pull off the upset?
Basket and make threes and really space the floor is just such a huge thing down there. And I feel like Johnston's guards with Lewis and Grant and Kramer are just really solid at doing all those things. Kramer made a three or two today, which is huge for him and makes them really hard to guard. I think the challenge for them will be, you know, they only play six guys and on a 24-hour turnaround, that can be difficult, but you know, you see it at the state tournament a lot. People just rise to the occasion. And, you know, they're not really thinking about how tired they are, and they just go out there and play hard. But, yeah, I can see that game coming down to the wire last few possessions and being a really exciting one.
Well, then the second semifinal game is another one I'm really looking forward to. I know a lot of people have penciled Waukee into that championship game all year, but Ames has now won 13 straight games and is really rolling. You know, I think it's going to be a great game. How do you see that one?
Mm-hmm. And he's just such a huge piece for them. Adds really quality depth, obviously. They don't play a lot of guys, so just to have another really, really athletic body and, you know, somebody who can get out and guard DeVries and Sanford and Omaha and pretty much anybody Waukee has out there would be huge for them. But either way, I think that game will be close. Ames is a very tough team to pull away from because of their defense. So, again, I could see that one being a close one in the fourth quarter and a lot of it coming down to, you know, is Ames able to play their style or is Waukee able to get up and down the court and have a lot of possessions in the game?
Yeah, you mentioned LeBeau. I was watching that game online today while I was trying to do some other work. You know, and Ames kind of had that game in hand, and I didn't even think about it until the end when I was preparing for the podcast and was planning to talk about him. I was like, hey, he didn't play today. So I kind of had to look it up to see what happened with him. And, yeah, I guess there really isn't an explanation for why he didn't play, so we really don't know if he will be back. But I know Waukee creates, you know, matchup problems with – you know, that their size and athleticism all over the court, but, you know, Ames does have one of the stingiest defenses in the state, and, you know, like you said, and I think the Cyclones will be able to slow them down, you know, somewhat. You know, they've got Phillips inside that can bang with Omaha, and Lipsy and Keyshawn Brooks on the perimeter are so athletic. You know, I think they can, you know, cause some problems for Waukee.
I definitely. Game I was hoping to watch all season. They were supposed to play in the regular season, but didn't end up happening, and I just thought Ames with their defensive ability and, you know, with Lipsy able to control the game, that would be the one game that would be really tough for Waukee, you know, if everybody was healthy and all those kinds of things. So I'm looking forward to watching that. We'll be down there tomorrow night as the coaching staff, and that'll be a lot of fun to watch, too. The best teams in the state go at it.
Oh, for sure. Well, Nate, some people may recognize your name as the guy who has won our pools at Ankeny Fanatic a couple of times, you know, so you certainly know how to pick games. So who do you like to win tomorrow night, and who do you think is going to cut down the nets on Friday?
You know, in the Waukee Ames game, without knowing if LeBeau is playing, I got to go with the favorite with Waukee. But, again, that one's one I could see coming down to last possession, and the ball in Lipsy's hands or the ball in DeVries' hands, that'd be really fun. And you know, I think most likely though, Waukee's able to come out of there just with the depth that they have, and with Omaha playing as well as he is right now, he's just kind of a force and makes things really difficult to deal with against them. And then in the other game, you know, I just really like the way Johnston played today with the space that they created, and I think despite their depth, I think they're just going to be able to drive and get to the basket on Cedar Falls, and I look for Johnston to pull the kind of upset in that game. And then Waukee Johnston would be a lot of fun. You know, that's the only CIML team to beat Waukee this year. But, you know, you have to go with a fully healthy Waukee team. You know, I think those are two tough games for them against Ames and Johnston. But, you know, they're just so talented and so good at everything that they do. So, and you saw that today against Pleasant Valley, who's a really good team. So that's my prediction. I could see it going a lot of different ways, though, and look forward to watching.
Yeah, Waukee does seem to be on a mission this year after losing to you guys in the final last year. Boy, they were impressive today. Well, speaking of our pools, we are going to have the NCAA tournament pool again this year after last year's tournament, of course, was canceled due to COVID. Now, of course, the brackets won't be announced until Sunday, so we don't know the matchups yet. But I did want to get your thoughts on a few things. Now, Drake appears to be a bubble team right now for the Bulldogs loss to Loyola in the MVC championship game on Sunday. Do you think Drake's going to get into the tournament?
Yeah, I saw today where they were the very last team, and I really hope they do get in, even if it's one of the play-in games. I think they're a team that has earned that. They're definitely a team I could see winning a couple games. I don't have a ton of time during the season to watch a lot of basketball, but I try to get caught up on some of it now. And yeah, I really hope they're in the tournament. I think they're a dangerous team. They have one of their best players getting healthy here, so definitely rooting for them to be in the field.
Well, then we have Iowa, which seems to be ticketed for a number two seed, according to most projections right now. The Hawkeyes will begin playing the Big Ten tournament on Friday, but there is some concern in Hawkeye land about the health of Joe Wieskamp after he sprained his ankle in a win over Wisconsin on Sunday. Do you think Wieskamp will play this weekend, or should he maybe sit out and wait for the NCAA tournament?
I haven't heard anything definite. You know, it seems to make a lot of sense that they're pretty locked into a two seed to just rest him and, you know, focus on the NCAA tournament. But, you know, you want to get a meaningful minutes before you get to that point, too. So that's a tough call, but, you know, I look for them to probably have him rest this weekend.
Well, yeah, this is a team with Final Four potential, so you don't want to mess with that, do you?
Right, definitely not. And, you know, with that being one of your top two players and with him playing so well right now, I don't think that's worth the risk. And, you know, I think they'll do some damage, too. And a lot of their issues this year have just been with bad matchups, and I think they've gotten a lot of that figured out down the stretch. I think they're a Sweet 16 team for sure, and then depending on who they play, I can see them going past that easily.
Well, yeah, one thing that will be different about this year's tournament is that the entire thing will be played in the Indianapolis area due to COVID. So that's going to take away some of the, you know, pseudo home court advantages that maybe some teams have had in the past. You know, I think in the early rounds that could mean that we'll have fewer upsets because, you know, in the past you'd maybe have like a Duke and North Carolina vying for that number one seed in the East region. So maybe one of them would be sent out west to be the number one seed out there. And then in the second round, they'd maybe have to play a team like Stanford, who was an 8 or 9 seed, basically, you know, in their backyard. And that was a disadvantage for them. So now we're not going to have that. And I think that the new format could also benefit Iowa because, you know, if they make it to the regional final, they won't have to play like, you know, Gonzaga on the West Coast, or they won't have to play Baylor down in Texas. So that would definitely help the Hawkeyes. Do you see any other ways that this new tournament, you know, is going to be different?
No, I think that's the biggest thing. And I look forward to seeing how that affects everything too. And I just really enjoy this time of year, both with the, you know, Iowa boys basketball and girls basketball state tournaments. And then you get the conference tournaments and selection Sunday. It's just so fun. I'm very glad that, you know, this year is a little bit more normal and we get to see some games, and I don't have to worry about finishing, you know, the boys basketball season here in Iowa or anything like that. I'm just really excited to watch conference tournament this weekend, finish up with the state tournament, and then see how the NCAAs go.
Oh, for sure. Well, I know we don't have the brackets yet, but if you had to pick a team to win the tournament today, you know, do you have a strong feeling about it, or do you need to see those brackets first before you know, can really get dialed in on it?
Yeah, I usually wait until they come out to really pick, but, you know, I think this year a lot of people will probably just pencil in Gonzaga and Baylor in the championship and just kind of pick one of them out of a hat with how dominant those two teams have been and how they've kind of risen to the top of the rankings for most of the season. I know Gonzaga struggled a little bit last night, but ended up getting a win. So, yeah, I'll watch a little bit this weekend and see what the brackets say and probably pick one of those two teams, just like a lot of other people.
Sure. Well, hey, the winner of our NCAA tournament pool will once again get a $50 gift certificate to the Yankee Clipper, and we'll have the details on our website later this weekend on how everybody, you know, can enter for a chance to win. So, Nate, should I just send you the gift certificate now, or do you want to wait till after the tournament?
Typically, I don't do that well, but I definitely look for somebody else to take that gift card probably this year.
You're going to try, though, right?
I'll definitely try.
All right, Nate. Well, I enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for your time, man. Hey, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Hey, you bet. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Dowling Catholic boys basketball team. His team ended the season earlier today with a 49-33 loss to Johnston in the Class 4A quarterfinals at Wells Fargo Arena. The Maroons finished the season with a 12-9 record. He is Mike O'Connor. Mike, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Well, could be a little bit better, but all things considered, it's a beautiful day outside. We made the state tournament. Can't be too down, but thanks for having me on, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, I appreciate your time. Well, you guys, you know, picked a bad time to have your lowest point total of the season. You know, you guys just couldn't buy a basket today, could you?
No, we got off to a really slow start and just never really got our feet under us and never were able to recover. I told our team afterwards that we're much better than we showed, and we just picked a bad time to have a bad game.
Well, yeah, your team had split a pair of games with Johnston this season, and you guys had won the most recent matchup by double digits, so I'm sure you went into the game with plenty of confidence. But like you said, unfortunately, you came out and got behind 19-6 in the first quarter. You know, and that was just too big of a hill to overcome, wasn't it?
It was. They got off to a fast start. They made the first basket of the game, and we came down and missed the layup. They came back down, hit a three, and we actually went down and scored another layup with Ryan. Got to 5-2, but then Ryan picked up two quick fouls, and he goes out of the game. Things changed. If you've ever been around coaching before, it's just one of those things where it kind of snowballs, and you can just feel it getting away pretty quickly today. It was a helpless feeling at times. I know the kids were giving effort. We just, for whatever reason, kept shooting ourselves in the foot.
Your team shot about 35% from the field, including 3 of 12 from three-point range. Now, did Johnston do anything different defensively today, or was it just a matter of not being able to knock down shots?
They did a couple things differently. In our basic actions, they kind of kept somebody in a help position that they hadn't done before. But really, they attacked us offensively. We did followed a similar game plan today that we had followed in our last game that we had some success with, and to their credit, they attacked that. They kind of knew what we were going to do and kind of had some counters to it. And when we had a chance to make some plays, we didn't, and they were able to capitalize on that. So the defense, they've always been pretty solid, and we shot it a little bit higher clip the last time we played. I thought we had some looks today. I just, for whatever reason, we couldn't get comfortable offensively, and then their counters to what we were doing defensively were better than our counters today.
Well, I think it takes every team a little while to adjust, you know, to the different shooting background there at Wells Fargo. And, of course, you guys have been there before, so it's not like you haven't seen that court. But do you think that was a factor at all?
No, I don't. Well, I'm sure for some of our kids it probably was because it was the first time playing down there. But we looked a step slow the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game. And by the time we caught up, we were down 19-6, and that really was it. They came out a little bit more aggressive with a little bit more swag than we did, and by the time we kind of caught up in that regard, it was too late. They're too good of a defensive team and too smart offensively to be able to make that up.
Well, Johnston is one of the few CIML teams that I didn't see this season, but I was really impressed by them today. You know, they can shoot it pretty well, they can defend, and boy, Stephen Kramer's a really good player, isn't he? Well, Mike, I want to get your thoughts on the rest of the tournament. Johnston will now play top-seeded Cedar Falls in the semifinals on Thursday night, and you're obviously familiar with Cedar Falls because you lost a close game to them in last year's quarterfinals. Now, Cedar Falls got off to a slow start today and actually trailed at halftime, but then pulled away in the second half for a 42-27 victory over Dubuque Senior. How do you see that matchup? What will the Dragons have to do to pull off the upset? Well, you mentioned Johnston's guard, Trey Lewis. Of course, Cedar Falls has a really good guard in Trey Campbell. And boy, when he got going today, that game was over, wasn't it?
Although I think Waukee would still have an advantage there, that changes Cedar Falls a great deal.
Well, then in the other semifinal, we have an all-CIML matchup between Ames and Waukee. Now, you've seen both of those teams this season. Your squad lost to Waukee a couple of times, but you did post a 37-35 win over Ames on January 9th, and that was right before the Little Cyclones got hot, and they've now reeled off 13 straight victories. So how do you see that matchup? You know, could you see Ames knocking off Waukee?
Very similar to what Ankeny guarded last year, where they get right up into you. And that made Waukee uncomfortable at times. Now, Waukee's a year older. They're a little bit more experienced. They're much more comfortable now. They've got seniors rather than juniors. So maybe that doesn't affect them as much. But when Taman Lipsey and Trayvon LeBeau and Keyshawn Brooks are able to get out and pressure, I think that will be key. If Waukee handles that tomorrow, I think they'll win. If they struggle with that, I think Ames will have a chance. Taman Lipsey is a problem on defense. He is going to make somebody's life very difficult. If Waukee can find a way to counter that, I think they're in really good shape. If Taman's ability to guard can create problems and create some uncomfortability for Waukee, I think Ames has a puncher's chance. So, I do think Waukee is the better team, but Ames is very well coached. They'll be disciplined. And defensively, I'll be really curious to see how Waukee handles that tomorrow. If they handle it, I think they win by 10 to 15. If not, I think the game becomes very, very close.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah, I think it's going to be a slugfest. You know, we certainly saw some quality defenses on display, you know, in all those games today. And, you know, I think I saw Ames and Waukee play a total of 8 times this year in their games against Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial. You know, and then they both just made, you know, life so difficult for the Hawks and Jaguars to even get, you know, good looks at the basket. You know, they're both just so good at with their athleticism and their height, you know, on the perimeter, they can just really lock you down, can't they? Oh, for sure. Well, you mentioned Trayvon LeBeau, and he's been such a big factor for them since he became eligible to play. And I do think Ames would have a chance to maybe beat them, you know, if he plays. But, of course, you know, he didn't play today, and they're not really saying, you know, what's going on with him there. So, well, I guess we'll see tomorrow what happens there. But it should be fun. Either way, Mike, I know you'd rather be playing tomorrow than watching. But, hey, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it. Hey, you bet. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Talk to you soon.
You bet, huh? Bye. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my final guest tonight is making his second appearance on the podcast in the last 3 weeks. He's an assistant coach for the Waukee girls basketball team, so we're going to recap the state tournament with him a little bit. We're also going to talk a little about the Waukee boys team and some college hoops as well. He is Todd Schneider. Todd, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thanks, Dan. I'm doing good.
Hey, well, congratulations on the state championship that you guys won last week. It was certainly well-deserved. I think a lot of people, including myself, picked you to win the tournament. But did you ever imagine that you guys would win all three games by more than 20 points?
No, not at all. I mean, when you get down there, there's teams like we talked about a couple weeks ago, and you know, we said you could probably make a case for all eight of those teams, and usually, you know, it takes some luck and it takes some good shooting, and we were fortunate on both of those.
Well, you guys placed two players on the all-tournament team, including Katie Dinnebier, who was named the captain of the squad, and she's also been selected Miss Iowa Basketball. Katie averaged 24 points in the three games, and she capped off her high school career with a 29-point outburst against Johnston in the title game. You know, she's just a special player, isn't she?
Yes, she is, Dan. She works really hard, and I mean, her points are always something that show up. But if you watch her, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm not sure I've ever seen a girl pressure the ball in the full court like she can, and even the best ball handlers get frustrated, and she doesn't foul. Very seldom is she in foul trouble, and she's just really fun to watch apply, you know, defensive pressure full length, full court.
Well, I thought what made your team's offense so difficult to stop was that you could spread the floor with five shooters, so that if your opponent really tried to stop Katie from driving to the basket, you know, then she could usually find somebody for an open three-pointer. And more often than not, you know, those other kids would step up and hit those shots, wouldn't they?
Yep, we had really good shooters, and Katie, you know, was able to get into the lane a lot. And like you said, if they rotated over, she kicked it out. We were very fortunate, you know, to have great shooters, but I would say that those kids, you know, created themselves. They were self-made shooters after hours and hours in the gym. It was really nice to see them rewarded for all their work the last 4 years.
Well, you guys showed last month when you won a regular season game at Ankeny Centennial by 10 points that you weren't a one-man team, because Katie didn't play in that game and your other kids really stepped up. And this is just a hypothetical question for you, but, you know, if Katie had not been able to play in the state tournament, you know, for whatever reason, do you think you guys could have still won the title without her, considering how dominant your team was and the fact that you were able to beat Centennial earlier without her?
She puts so much pressure on the ball, on the guard out front, that it's disruptive, and it allows, you know, the rest of our defensive players to get in good position. And we had to apply pressure on the perimeter because we weren't very big inside. And that, you know, one of the things we really stressed during the championship game with, you know, Jimfy from Johnston is, you know, we can't let the ball go inside, because she was very dominating the first two games in the tournament. You know, she had 10 points and 7 rebounds in the championship game. She had 18 rebounds in both of the games before that.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that, you know, we talked about it as a staff. When Katie sat out the Centennial game, it probably was really good for our other kids, because they had to step up and take on a bigger role. And I think a lot of them grew up that night, and it was kind of a springboard that we won that game.
Well, I tweeted about this the other day after you guys won the tournament. A lot of people have been calling, you know, the Waukee boys team one of the best teams ever assembled in Iowa. You know, but my question was, you know, what about your girls team? You know, that was such a dominating performance that you guys had in those three games. You know, have you thought at all about how this team stacks up against some of the other great teams that have won state?
No, I mean, you know, I look back, just, you know, even Scott's, you know, four teams that won it. All teams now are built so different, you know, with the three-point line and the outside shooting. And, you know, it's every generation. It's so hard. I know that when you shoot like we did, it makes your team look pretty good. And, you know, I know our girls are good. It's hard to say where they would fall. I know a lot of people did, you know, express that, you know, that's the best team we've ever seen. But boy, I don't know. There's been some really good teams.
We had those teams that Scott DeYoung coached. Of course, they won a record 4 straight titles from 2002 to 2005. And that 2005 team went 27-0, and they had only 3 games decided by single digits. You know, so that's a team that would certainly have to be in the discussion for the greatest ever. You know, that team had 2 future Division I players, and Nikki Wiebin and Christina Voss. And just from a style of play aspect, I think it would be interesting to see, you know, your current team match up against that squad, because you guys would certainly struggle to guard them inside, but that I think they'd also struggle to guard you guys on the perimeter.
Scott's great high-low coach, and we'd have a hard time stopping that. But then again, you know, I think we'd present some problems for them in the full court with our good shooters also.
Well, Todd, I mentioned the Waukee boys team, and they opened state tournament play this afternoon with an impressive victory over Pleasant Valley. Did you watch the game, and what did you think of their performance?
Yeah, I did watch the game. Until you see Waukee, and they were really locked in today and focused, until you see the height and the length that they have for a high school team, it can really be overwhelming, and I think that's what happened, you know, with Pleasant Valley. You know, they turned the ball over quite a bit early on. It was 22-3 at the end of the first quarter, and Waukee, you know, shot 67% in the first half. That length can really, really bother you and frustrate you. And, you know, it's tough to shoot over it. It's tough to drive, you know, because you got Omaha back in the lane as a rim protector. When they're locked in, they're awful tough.
I know Pleasant Valley likes to play at a slower pace and keep the game probably like in the 40s or 50s, but when you get down 22-3, you really don't have any option but to keep shooting, do you?
No, you don't. You know, Pleasant Valley probably wanted that first quarter score about 42, you know.
But right.
When they turned it over and got behind, they kind of had to throw their game plan out.
Well, this Waukee team has been dealing with such high expectations all season. You know, do you think they've felt the weight of that burden at times? Because I think some people just expected them to cruise to the state championship without even being tested, and that certainly hasn't been the case.
Yeah, no, I think they have. There's a lot of pressure. You know, there's some really good players. You know, obviously the two seniors and then, you know, underclassmen. There's some good players there. I think there was a lot of expectations, and you get everybody's best shot. You know, it's tough being number one. Everybody wants to knock you off.
Well, now we get a great semifinal matchup between Waukee and Ames. I've seen Waukee play three times this year, and I think Ames five times. So I feel like I have a pretty good handle on both teams. I think it's going to be a really close game that goes down to the wire. What do you think will be the keys in this matchup?
Well, I think Ames will have to, you know, not turn it over. And I think with their personnel, I think that they'll be able to do that. You know, Lipsy's a really good point guard, and he's able to get to the rim, which has given the Waukee teams trouble, our you know, guards that can get to the rim. So they'll have to work on that. But, you know, to beat Waukee, you have to take care of the ball and shoot a high percentage, because Waukee's going to do that. They have really good shooters, and, of course, they have Omaha, who gets a lot of offensive rebounds and putbacks. But I'm with you, Dan. I said to somebody yesterday, I believe it was, that I think one of the best games in the tournament might be Ames if they both win their first round game.
Well, yeah, and the way Ames plays defense, you know, if they can keep it close and the style of play that they like to have, I mean, I could see this final score being like, you know, 37-35, couldn't you?
Yeah. I wouldn't surprise me a bit. I would say if you get to 40 points, you probably have a really good chance to win this game, yeah.
Well, Todd, hey, I want to talk a little college hoops with you as well. Iowa State's season will probably come to a merciful end tonight when the Cyclones play Oklahoma in the opening round of the Big 12 tournament. There's been a lot of speculation about Steve Prohm's future as this historically bad season has unfolded. Now, I thought earlier in the season that he might get a pass because of COVID and because of the fact that he has 4 years left on his contract. But at this point, do you think there's any way that Jamie Pollard can bring him back?
Well, that's somebody's decision, obviously. That's not mine. Way smarter than me. I would say I think it will be difficult only because of the fan base. I think season ticket sales would really slump if he did come back. I'm not, you know, one to say whether he should or not. I just know from a financial standpoint, I think that's going to be something that's really weighing heavy on their decision when they make that.
Yeah, that financial decision could go, you know, either way, because, yeah, I mean, it's going to cost them some money to buy Prohm out. But, yeah, if they bring him back, you know, they're not going to sell any tickets, I don't think. So it could go either way, I think.
Yep, I think you're right.
Well, I do think if Iowa State loses tonight, though, we're probably going to find out an answer one way or the other, because they really have to make a decision to move on, don't they?
Yeah, you know, it's best to make those decisions early, I think, because I think there's going to be a lot of openings. You know, there's already 9 or 10 right now, and I don't know. I think Kansas State's coach is going to retire. DePaul will probably be open. And Minnesota might be open. And you have to get moving on this stuff. I guess one of the things I would kind of look at is I think, you know, Jamie Pollard might be tied up here till Sunday with the selection committee.
Right, right.
So I'm not sure, you know, what the time frame is for him. you know, being able to communicate with Coach Prohm or not. It's just kind of a lot of moving parts right now.
Well, Jamie has shown in the past that he's usually one step ahead of everybody, so I'm sure he's got a plan one way or the other.
Oh, he does. He's very good at that.
Well, some people have speculated that Iowa State might go after Drake coach Darren DeVries, who's obviously had a great year with the Bulldogs. You know, now the Cyclones went down that path once before when they hired the hot in-state coach when McDermott was at UNI, you know, and that marriage kind of produced some mediocre results. But I don't doubt that Jamie would look very hard at Coach DeVries. And if Iowa State does, and I'm sure, you know, some other Power 5 school will. My question to you, though, since you obviously know Coach DeVries and his son Tucker very well, and of course Tucker's going to play for his dad at Drake next year, do you think DeVries will be back at Drake next year?
To the Sweet 16, and you can just look back, and, you know, Archie Miller went from Dayton to Indiana, Sean Miller, Xavier to Arizona, you know, even Alford, you know, he went to the Sweet 16 and lost to Duke, and, you know, he was 22-11 and ended up with the Iowa job. You know, it's, I think there's a lot of mid-major coaches out there that I think might fit that bill this year, you know, with a few wins. Pete, you know, Porter Mosier at Loyola Chicago, I'm not sure, you know, how long they can keep him with his success. Or there's a Winthrop's coach, I think, is really a good coach. It'll be hard for them to keep him. So it's tough. You know, Drake's a private school, so that comes into play, too, as far as, you know, one's salary. I know Keno Davis went through that, you know. That Drake just couldn't afford to keep him when Providence hired him.
Right, right.
So that's you know, it's a tough situation. I mean, I know there's a lot of people in the area that sure would like to have him stay at Drake. That's for sure.
Oh, for sure. Well, here's my take on the situation. You know, I don't know what Darren's long-range, you know, goals are, but I'm guessing he's not going to be at Drake for like 20 years. At some point, he's going to want to move on to a bigger school. And I do think if he's back at Drake next year, that he's probably going to stay until, you know, Tucker's career is over. But if I'm a Bulldog fan, I think the thing that would concern me is that if you know, Drake is on the bubble as far as getting into the tournament, and I certainly hope that they get in, but if a few of these conference tournaments don't go the way they want them to, you know, Drake could find itself on the wrong side of the bubble come selection Sunday. And if that happens, you know, then you've got to think that, you know, Darren would be thinking, you know, what do I got to do to get my team into the tournament? You know, we went 25-4. It's just so hard to make the NCAA tournament at a place like Drake, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, and you know, probably the Missouri Valley, one could argue, isn't as, you know, as tough as it used to be with, you know, with Creighton gone now and Wichita State gone. And so, man, you have to almost be perfect in that conference to be able to make it. And then sometimes you even have to win the conference tournament. And you're right, you know, Darren all of a sudden says, man, I had we had a fantastic year and we're still not good enough to get in. And it gets frustrating, I think, for those mid-major guys.
Well, then you look at the UNI situation. Ben Jacobson's had a great run there. He's led the Panthers to the NCAA tournament four times, but they haven't been back since they had that monumental collapse against Texas A&M back in 2016. And there used to be a lot of talk about you know, him moving on to a bigger school, and maybe he just never wanted to make that move. But, you know, I don't think the Power 5 schools are coming after him like they maybe, you know, once did either. So I guess my point is this: if Darren thinks he's going to leave Drake at some point, you know, you might want to do it when your stock is the highest, and I don't know that's going to get much higher than what it is right now.
Exactly right. I was pretty good friends with Keno when he was at Drake, and he made that comment. He said, you know, I don't know if we can ever do this again at Drake, and I got to go now, you know. And I think that's exactly, you know, what those mid-major coaches look at. Sometimes it might not be a job that they want, but they have to, you know, they have to take a chance, because to sustain that, you know, high level of basketball at mid-majors is really tough.
Oh, for sure. And then with Tucker coming in next year, you know, I don't know how much of a factor this would be, but, you know, if Darren could take a job at a bigger school, then that would give Tucker a chance to play at a higher level as well, and I'm sure that's something that would appeal to Tucker.
Yeah, I think it would. You know, he had obviously some higher offers, and I think he probably would have had more had Dad not been the coach at Drake, because the feeling was, I think, that's maybe, you know, where he was going to end up. But sure, I mean, I think that would fit both of them, Darren and Tucker, at a higher level.
Well, there have been a lot of other coaches in the news recently. I mentioned a Coach McDermott earlier, and he's been on the hot seat a little bit after he made an inappropriate comment to his team after a loss to Xavier on February 27th. For those who aren't familiar with what he said, you know, this is specifically what he said. He said, quote, "Guys, we got to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everybody to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation." And then McDermott was later suspended for 4 days, but he was reinstated earlier this week, and he will be coaching the Blue Jays in the Big East and NCAA tournaments. Now, what was your take on that situation? You know, I guess McDermott offered to resign, but the school told him no, huh?
Yeah, that's what I heard. You know, I think probably as soon as he said it, he realized that was a real big mistake. Oh, it's those people are really under a microscope, those coaches. And you know, I guess, you know, looking at McDermott, I'm sure he's, you know, hoping he can learn from it, grow from it, try and earn back the trust of those individuals that he hurt, and, you know, hopefully move on. But that's going to be tough. I'm not sure if they're, you know, requiring him to, you know, take any, you know, classes or training, you know, sensitivity training, or I'm just not sure. I heard at one time that might be something that they were going to make him, you know, fulfill. So
I think it is. I did read that I think that's going to be part of his, agreement to stay on as coach. And it doesn't look like maybe he's going to be fired now, but if he had been, I think that's one of the schools, obviously, that would have been interested in Darren DeVries, just because, you know, he served as an assistant there for so long. Well, there's another Division I coach in the state of Nebraska that also gets talked about quite a bit here in Central Iowa. And of course, that's the mayor. With the speculation about Prohm's job status, you know, Fred Hoiberg's name is one that comes up quite a bit. And I've heard a lot of people shoot down that speculation. Some have said that Fred would have no interest in coming back to Ames, or that Jamie wouldn't want to hire him. But, I'm not totally convinced of either of those things. You know, what do you think? There's any chance that he'd come back here?
Personally, but I'm not sure, you know, if he's if he wants to try and build that program up. I just don't know, and you know, I don't know what Jamie's thoughts would be either. That's a very good question, Dan.
Well, there's been, you know, lots of examples of coaches who have moved from one school to another, or maybe to the pros, and then eventually returned to their former school. I mean, Mac Brown was the football coach at North Carolina. He went to Texas and then got into TV, and now he's back with the Tar Heels. So, I mean, it wouldn't be unprecedented.
No. And, you know, Fred's always going to be the mayor of Ames, you know, so I wouldn't rule anything out.
Well, yeah, I just think if you're Jamie, you know, you at least have to give him a call to gauge his interest. I mean, Fred's already proven that he can win at Iowa State. You know, so who are you going to hire that would be a better option? Would be my question.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree with you more. He definitely proved that he can win at Iowa State, and I think that you would have to make a call. Yep, as Jamie being the, you know, leader of the programs, you have to make a call. Yep.
Well, then I look at it too from Fred's angle. You know, in his first year at Nebraska last season, the Cornhuskers went 7-25. This year's team is now 7-19, heading into tonight's game against Penn State in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament. You know, so if you're Fred, you might be, you know, one or two more bad years away from getting fired. You know, just from a good career move point of view, you know, if he returns to Ames, he's probably going to be given, I would think, 3 or 4 years. And I don't know if Jamie would ever fire, you know, an icon like Fred. So I mean, just from a stability standpoint, you think it might be a good move.
I know he has a highly touted top 20, you know, high school senior coming in next year whose brother's already on the squad. But, you know, it takes more than one kid to be able to get up in that top half of the Big Ten, that's for sure.
Well, and I know Fred's got a big buyout too, so I'm sure that'll be, you know, a factor as well. Well, yeah. Another name that I've heard quite a bit lately is T.J. Otzelberger, and that's a name that makes a lot of sense, I would think.
State fans are familiar with him, and TJ, I know had a very big part of recruiting a lot of those players to Iowa State, and I think that would be somebody that, you know, Jamie would have to make a call to also.
Well, TJ's in his second year, I believe, at UNLV, and he's not exactly setting the world out on fire out there. And I don't know, he just doesn't seem like a Vegas guy to me. He seems like maybe he'd be a better fit for Iowa State.
Yeah, more of a Midwest guy. He grew up in Wisconsin, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Todd. Well, hey, enjoyed the conversation tonight. Congratulations again on the state title. That was a pretty impressive run that you guys went on. So I hope you're enjoying the success. And, hey, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. I want to thank my guests again for joining me tonight. We had McKenna Scheib, we had Nate Toby from the Ankeny Boys basketball team, we had Dowling Boys basketball coach Mike O'Connor, and we finished up with Waukee Girls basketball assistant Todd Schneider. I thank all those folks for their time tonight. Enjoyed all those conversations. I'm not sure if we'll have a podcast next week with spring break, but if not, we'll be back the following week with another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.